Ready in my butt.
And we're live.
Well, welcome. Who's the number one guy in the world? The host, the most, the guy with the glasses. The other guy with the glasses, Michael! You haven't had an introduction.
And I am here with my co-host, the founder of the Necalluminati, the delayer of shipments, the procrastinator of pre-orders, the perfect person, my YouTube wife, Mrs. Mar and Toy Fair, Jamar underscore games. But that's not all. I'm also joined by Bearded Spice, the man Optimus Prime popped in and refuses to stop, the man Mar and Toy Fair has full custody over, Twilight Knight, Master of Mac, 3 Pump Chump, taking the show off the rails, Nate. And I'm leaving that all in. They don't get to know what the cold open was supposed to be now. How are you guys?
Yeah. I don't even know what the episode is
completely,
now.
The cold completely derailed open. Me. Like, I'm all sorts of befuddled.
That's what
Intruder's I did. Name is yeah. What it sounds like to me.
But yeah, so how are you guys doing?
I'm doing great.
All right. I'm good.
Good.
As good as it can be.
I mean, you're here, so I can see why that'd be a detractor. So yes, since we didn't do a cold open, we'll get right into it. And this week we're going to be discussing if conventions are going to soon be a thing of the past. So over the past few to several years, I don't know, with pandemic times, everything seems all longer. But we've seen some changes in the way conventions work. Obviously, there were a few years there where they couldn't have them because there was a lot of no-no with the whole in-person get-togethers and stuff. A lot of like restrictions on how many people you can have in buildings and people who just in general didn't want to go because ew, gross. And we've seen, which thanks to Nate, I was privy to this information before we started. We've seen companies like Wizard who used to pretty much have a convention every other week in a different state, then rebrand as Fan Expo and significantly cut down their schedule. We have GalaxyCon pop up and they've kind of stepped in and they do a con like every month in different areas. But they consistently seem to stay in those same areas. Like it seems like, for instance, Ohio is every December. And then we've seen some smaller conventions that kind of popped up and took the place in like PowerCon. But now that's in jeopardy because there are some rumors going around because the vendors are being told certain things and being given information for 2025 rather than 2024 that PowerCon may not be happening next year. And if they have to take a year off, would that potentially hurt them going forward for the future? Because a lot of times, you know, out of sight, out of mind, you go away, you get forgotten, and people don't come back. Meanwhile, though, we do still have like C2E2 and New York Comic Con and San Diego Comic Con still going strong. They're still, New York Comic Con has slowed down a little bit. Like, they never really sold out regularly, but they seem to have a little bit of a harder time selling out now than they used to. Comic Con, I'm pretty sure, like, if you ain't there in the first 30 seconds, you ain't going. And C2E2 is still about the same. But I kind of wanted to bring this up just because, you know, we obviously, well, me and Nate at least, Jamar moderately enjoys going places. Enjoy going to these conventions because, one, you get to meet some cool people. You get to go and see some vendors that you haven't seen before if you're going to an area that isn't near your home. You get the opportunity to go and meet some of your childhood heroes and voice actors and other, you know, creators and actors and stuff. And get their autographs. So like conventions give you a lot, you know, in our nerd fandoms. And it would be kind of a big shame to see those go away. And I'm kind of curious what you guys think. Do you think that given these things, oh, and I completely forgot, New York Toy Fair, literally the week that it was happening, they announced that they were going to shift from New York to New Orleans in a couple of years, and then the second
New
it was
Orleans.
Over.
Yeah, New Orleans. Mm-hmm.
And then the second that the show was over, they announced that they were, never mind, they're staying in New York. So I kind of want your guys' opinions. Like, do you think this is kind of like the beginning of the end? Are we going to see cons kind of reduce more and more and more, and we're just going to have like the big like three and then some like local stuff? Or do you think it's just some bumps in the road while they restructure and figure out what they want to do?
Well, Nate, I'll let you go after me just because everyone already knows I'm the con expert. Some would call me a con artist.
I say they call you a con man.
Or the con man, yeah. You know, whichever one. I go both. I mean, I'm going to bring in, because I, you know, don't regularly go, and I'm sure you guys are going to have more astute opinions on this, but this is just one of those things of like, hey, let me pull in some information that I know outside of like toys to give like a comparison. And this instantly makes me think of like one of the largest con conventions or whatnot for gaming was E3, and it too has been like struggling, and almost to the point where basically E3 is all but dead just because of things that happened in the world made it difficult, like Michael said, out of sight, out of mind. And then it was hard to get that steam back up. And then this is maybe a little bit different, but like it was propped up by publishers or developers and whatnot, and they're like, we don't really need this anymore. So I don't know if that would be kind of like an equivalent to like the toys, because I'm genuinely curious. I guess obviously the vendors have to pay for the booths and stuff like that, but has there been a change in how they, I guess, reach other people or reach their audience without needing to do a convention? Because that's the only reason why I would see that would die. But in my opinion, I don't think there is an alternative. Like, PlayStation could just hold a live stream and show all the information that they were going to do at E3. Random toy vendor can do that, but can't. So, like, that's how I'm curious. That's true. I guess I'm not thinking of, like, Hasbro, NECA.
Like, you're thinking of, like,
Super... Yeah, like, I'm thinking more of smaller...
Well, even then, like, Super 7 and NECA are still, I guess they'd be more mid-tier than, like, small, but they're not, by no means, are they,
a
mass producer like Hasbro is.
Yeah, but I guess that's true. That's actually true. Like, Hasbro does their streams, so, I mean, it becomes a point of, like, be sad to see it go for that reason, but would it become more of just a fan thing versus vendors trying to show off new stuff? That's just kind of like my opinion on it and my take and my beliefs. The answer to your question is I don't know.
I thought Nate was going to like jump in for rebuttal, but he's just staring very intently into my soul and I don't know how I feel about it.
Actually, this is not Nate, if you didn't know. Nate has actually now been replaced with an AI version of him, and this is the only thing we've been able to
program. Yeah, we can't afford the audio of it for yet. We have to wait till the next YouTube payment comes through. So right now we just get this like rotating like facial expression.
But no, the beard physics are amazing.
Thank you. I think we're seeing more of a changeover than I think we're seeing any type of like dying out. I can definitely see some of the bigger shows downsizing how many times a year they do it, or, you know, restructuring things that way. So I could see, you know, obviously, I think there's more going on with the PowerCon thing than we are privy to, because the last convention was, for all intents and purposes, a swimming success.
With a few speed bumps with the exclusives.
Right. Sure. You're always going to have something with that. But what I have seen, and I don't think that this necessarily should be diminished, but I have seen the rise of the local convention or the area thing. For instance, in our area, whatever area you want to call this, I believe some say the Midwest, but there's some sort of argument to that, and I totally get it.
Mideast.
But, Mid-East. Yeah, So like closer to away from us, but near Pittsburgh, they have Steel City Con that happens a couple times a year. I particularly go to Horror Hound twice a year, which is in Ohio and Indianapolis. And then like some of like one of the ones that I got to experience here recently was the Hall of Fame Con in Canton, Ohio. Some people may have heard of that. What I thought was interesting about that is it was not a great show for me. Okay. Because I do a lot of these, I go to a lot of these. But there was a ton of people there, and there was a ton of people that were like, and I mean this in like an earnest way, like they were dressed up and they thought this was Comic-Con, you know, like for them, they didn't know any better, you know, like they don't go to anything else. So this was awesome for them. And I think that's great. I think that helps continue the spirit of it. And continues to kind of drive the just kind of the fun behind it to what it should be. And I think that's kind of maybe what we could potentially lose. But then is that such a bad thing? So when you get like what Jamar was just talking about with the games, you know, the companies weren't necessarily seeing a return on investment. And I could see that continuing on. Like some of the companies over the years have not done even San Diego Comic-Con. So when eventually do more companies start pulling out, not seeing the benefit of it? And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that could be something I could see more, because San Diego Comic-Con is such a multimedia event rather than it is a comic show or a place to buy toys. I mean, yeah, you do all that stuff there, but it's more about the event.
Hall H.
And yeah, so like... So, for instance, this year the strike was happening. So, you know, a lot of the places pulled out, and a lot of people said that the experience was better, that they had more fun at that particular San Diego Comic-Con because it felt like they used to before it got out of hand. Some people love the out of hand, but I was trying to think, I knew this was going to be the topic, and I was thinking about it. Lately in our area, there has been a show almost every weekend. And not every one of those is a con where you're going and meeting celebrities and a vendor booth and going to panels. I don't mean to insinuate that necessarily. But there is a show or event almost every weekend that kind of fits into the parameters of our interests. You know, it may not be, maybe one is directly a toy show, maybe one is directly a comic show, one is maybe more of a memorabilia thing. But you know, in our area, and again, I include what it's called the West Mid. Was that what it was? Is it West Mid? Are we
Mid-East.
Midwest. Yeah.
Mid-East.
This is the area. I mean, within Mid-East. Driving distance, there's been something at least 3 weekends out of the month. And that is where I think that we will continue to see growth. And we may potentially see pullbacking on... you know, these bigger shows. Now, I did want to touch briefly on Toy Fair, because that's a whole other beast in itself, because that's not open to the public. Mm-hmm. That's a trade show. So yeah. For buyers and companies and press. But are we starting, is that starting to see, I just wonder what's going on a little bit there, because they didn't have so many for so long. And then when they did bring this one back, they brought it back in the fall, which is very strange.
Especially a week before, just like you said, they were, New York Comic Con.
Yeah. And then, like just like you said, they said they were going to move, and then they're not. What is the purpose of Toy Fair anymore? And I'm not even just talking about from our side of it, but literally that could be a Zoom call in this day and age. Now, does that take a little bit out of it? Absolutely. You don't get to handle it. You don't get to see it. You know, there's more to that. But the cost that's involved, does it truly outweigh? And then for our side of it, so your Hasbro, McFarlane, you know, NECA, all the way down to, you know, even something like, you know, just, you know, Boss Fight. They have more success with live streams or their own hosted events and things to kind of, because they're not necessarily selling to retailers. I'm sure some are, but some of those are direct. And I think more for them would be more something where they can talk directly to their audience because that's their buyers. Yeah, Super 7 needs to, you know, talk to, you know, so many retailers to get their reaction figures in. And for whatever reason, now Walmart is carrying Ultimates, but that's a whole nother thing. But still, ultimately, their audience is us. And yeah. I feel like their show or doing some sort of event through their own means is better for them. Just like even they do their pop-up shops the week of San Diego. They're not at San Diego. They are, mm-hmm. but they don't, you know, they don't necessarily, you know, they have a presence off site as well. It just happens to be that week. But, you know,
I think my biggest thing against that would be the fact that, like, Hasbro Pulse has this big issue where a lot of their stuff is just digital renders. I mean, they do have some physical stuff there, like, that they show off, but still you're watching a video of it versus being able to, like, see it in person. Because at, like, some of the conventions that you can pay to go, a normal person can see it in person. But even if you're just seeing, like, Robo and Veebs from The Floosh or Big Nerdy or, like, any of these other YouTubers go to Toy Fair and be able to see it in person and take pictures, and then you can hear their opinions on it, I think that borderline does better for it as far as, like, things like Hasbro, just because Hasbro has this wavering fan base that is kind of like, is it worth it kind of thing? And having that, like, in person could help.
And I totally get what you're saying there, but, and I guess one of the things I forgot to mention, and this is helpful, is how much stuff did all these companies have to hold back for Toy Fair?
I mean, most of them didn't hold anything back.
but then there was very little to show. Then it became less of an event.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So because like,
you're talking about, I thought you were talking about this year. I mean, not in general.
Yeah, I am talking about this year. Yeah. So like this year we had San Diego, and then there was PulseCon, then there was Toy Fair, then there's New York Comic Con, and every single one of those things had a reveal of some kind. So they literally had to hold things back. So what, like, that just makes Toy Fair even less special than it was.
But that's because Toy Fair moved. When it was in February, it wasn't a big deal, because then you're months after New York and you're months before San Diego. So, like, it's that nice middle ground where you can get, like, those big announcements out in between and keep
the hype
up. I'm
not saying that's not, but they did it. Somebody did it,
mm-hmm.
and it made it less special. Mm-hmm. To us.
Oh yeah.
Again, I'm talking to us.
Yeah, I can agree with that. That them moving to a different time of the year definitely hurt Toy Fair in a very big way.
There's no explanation as to why, other than just like, this is what
nothing that we're privy to. Like, I haven't really heard any rumors. Well, I mean, I've heard rumors as far as like the venue change, because there was rumors that like, oh, it was too expensive and they got a better deal down in New Orleans, but
where,
fuck off,
it was better,
but ultimately like they still came back to New York, and I can't imagine that New York was suddenly cheaper unless they like managed, they were like, oh, we're gonna lose this one weekend event that like hasn't been around for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. I was just curious as to like, maybe like we assumed to us it was, you know, well, I'm not saying assume, like you obviously have your opinion on it and say, yeah, it really wasn't like that great. But I wonder if they saw better like return on everything.
I can't imagine they did, because most of the companies didn't really bring anything to make it feel special. Hasbro, the only thing they did is they brought Giant Man prototype. They didn't really have any reveals. NECA, I don't think, had any.
Which is weird to even take to. You're talking about Toy Fair, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would you take Giant Man to Toy Fair? Kind of defeats the purpose.
Why wouldn't you? If it's the campaign's running and you're going to have a bunch of press and YouTubers there, like, to see it in person?
Yeah, I guess. But Toy Fair is supposed to be for retailers.
I mean,
it seems like a weird thing to have at retailers. But I'm saying originally.
Yeah, originally it was.
That's my whole point. Originally, it's for retailers. So if retailers aren't really doing it, aren't going to it, and it's all for press and us, it's pointless.
Because it's pointless if you stay in the fall. If you go back to February, then I could see it being a little more special and you know being worth it. But again, it depends on the company, because some of these companies need more help getting people excited for the product than others. Like NECA, if they got their production value up instead of just doing these live stream interviews, like I enjoy them, but ultimately you can't fucking see shit when they show it off. So if they up their production value, yeah, I could see them going to a live stream and being fine. And Super 7, I don't think it matters one way or another what they do at this point. You're either going to buy Super 7 figures or you're not. I don't think there's anyone who's really on the fence. I think the biggest people who'd probably be hurt are some of the smaller like companies that are still like up and coming, like Boss Fight and stuff like that.
But then again, they could be just at smaller shows, more going this to more true. Smaller local.
That could make those smaller shows more special.
Yeah. I would say that would be a pretty good idea, in my opinion.
But here's where you have to ask this question then. If they start showing up at smaller shows over the bigger ones, obviously they have less eyes on them because it's a smaller show. Do they get invited and have, you know, get paid to be there? Or do they still have to pay for a booth like they would have if they went to like a PowerCon or a NYCC or whatever? Because I can't imagine they're going to, because most of these like, companies, unless they're just going to local shows near where they're located, are going to travel multiple states and spend all that money to show some stuff off to Columbus, Ohio.
Wow. Didn't have to do that to us, but
I'm just saying, like, comparatively, night and day difference. Like, PowerCon was huge, but PowerCon started off, you know, with that fan base from the Masters of the Universe and then evolved from there, versus being like the Ohio Toy Show or Toyhio or like something like that. Like, it's a big difference in the two. So if they start doing local stuff, is that really worth it to them?
Like, to make up the difference.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, yeah, because I see what you're saying. You're still paying for it. But and maybe not just local, like Columbus, Ohio, maybe more regional. Like, there's got to be something in the middle of like a PowerCon to like NYTC. Like, there's got to be something.
That'd be your Galaxy and Fan Expos, but those are more based around meeting celebrities and anime now.
Yeah.
Like I've gone to two or three of the Galaxy Cons, and it's pretty much the same thing. You're either there to get an autograph and a picture, or you go to the vending area, and it's 90% anime with a few other things sprinkled in between.
I'm going to meet Mike Tyson.
At, really? Because you want to get the mystery. Yeah. I figured that's why. I was like, it's not because you like his boxing.
I mean, I did love watching him box, but it didn't take very long.
Yeah, I just know how much you enjoy the Mike Tyson mysteries.
I do.
That's hilarious.
Wait, is he at Galaxy? See, I was debating to go because I saw, I think, Yuri, the voice of the PlayStation Spider-Man, is going to be there. And I was debating going.
Cool.
But
get your console plate signed.
I thought about that, not gonna lie, but then that'd I was like, cool. I don't know how I'd keep that nice though, because I don't have like a fancy case to put it in.
You just keep it on the PlayStation.
Yeah, but then like I don't know. I feel like I don't want it to get wear and tear and stuff, like shelfware.
Get some spray lacquer or something over top of it.
Spray lacquer? What the fuck is that?
Spray lacquer? I don't know. Some clear coat. It'd be fine.
Okay, maybe I'll think about it. Because I was thinking about it, because that'd be cool. I lost track of what I was talking about. Yes, conventions. but yeah, so...
Like, that would be like the middle, is what you're saying. Like something like that would have to be the middle.
That would be your middle ground between...
Some of these smaller...
Local and NYCC. Going,
yeah. Which is still... That's still an option. But I guess to get to like the crust. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to kind of like steer in a different direction. So if you wanted to say something.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say that, yeah. Like, I don't feel like that crowd is their demographic, though, was what I was going to say.
Oh, it's not until it is. People are like, oh, well, I wasn't going to go there because it just seems to be anime stuff. But hey, Yuri's there. And also they're going to start having, you know, I can't think of a small, you know, example of a small toy company. Boss Fight's going to have a booth there. I'm definitely going now, you know,
yeah.
Like it. Sure, it's not. But like there's definitely overlap. I'm sure most people who collect toys may or may not be into anime. I mean, so why not get both?
I feel like you'd be surprised how many people in the action figure communities aren't in anime. Like, I feel like sure. The three of us are like outliers. Like, I feel a lot of
feel like G.I. Joe.
It's probably like 50-50. I mean, you're into one nerd 60, thing. It lends yourself
60-40 because, like, it I feel like. Itself. I don't know.
Like, I'm into almost everything with the exception of like card games and like I don't even know. Like because I don't really consider myself an anime fan per se, but I know enough of it and I would fall into the category of.
Would you not consider the Transformers Supermaster?
Headmasters?
Oh, I was gonna say Master Race.
Oh Jesus.
That's technically anime. It doesn't have to be like
I have some favorite. I mean, obviously I'm a massive Dragon Ball fan. It's just I don't watch a ton of it. Like
I mean I
generally watch... Dragon Ball and Ghibli are pretty much my.
Well, also you're into that like JoJo's Big Adventure
Bizarre.
I'll admit that. Dabble. I watch it with my kids. Yeah, I'm a fan.
Like, I don't watch 99% of the current anime stuff, but, like, I still consider myself a fan of anime.
Yeah, that's what I'm... All right. But I'm just saying, like, I think you'd be surprised that there's overlap. At least, like, even a couple of toy nerds, they at least like Dragon Ball. Or they like Naruto. Or, you know, like, there's enough connection there.
I'll give you that. I'm just thinking of more, like, there's certain toy lines that some of the fan bases are a lot more toxic than others. And they look down upon anime for various reasons.
Go ahead. Let's make them mad. What toy line are you referring to? I don't know if this is on topic, but I feel like you're wanting to say a specific.
Oh, no. There's not. I don't want to say specific.
Oh, okay. Okay.
As much as I want that engagement in the comments, I'm far too tired to argue with people at the moment. I had a guy earlier in one of the Facebook groups, like in our group chat, argue with me about Mafex versus Mezco after I like was like, I respectfully disagree. And then he decided to start talking mad shit. And I'm like, all right, let's go.
I got called out. I got called a woke Disney, a pathetic woke Disney Star Wars lover because.
Well, that was not a very good finish to that one.
No, but it was because the only reason I got called that is because I called out hypocrisy in the original trilogy. Like,
That doesn't
like the thing was about like making new stories up. It didn't have anything to do with that. It was like my comment was just this was relating to the fact that, you know, there's something about how like, you know, Disney was just making it up or whatever, which was probably true. But my point was also that originally Luke and Leia weren't supposed to be siblings, so here we are. Like just the whole thing that was it was made up as it went. And I, you know, that's all I said. And I'm, you know, a Star Wars fan all my life. I feel like I have more of a right to call out the bullshit that George fed us for years.
Yeah, you're like, I saw it in theaters.
You consumed it all.
That's just what I, like, whatever. You can have your opinions about Disney Star Wars or whatever, but just pick your battles. Because when you start talking about, like, corny writing and making shit up as they go, like, yeah, they shouldn't be doing those things.
But George did.
Like, they're just, they're following in George's footsteps. I mean, don't.
Yeah.
Let's not pretend that this is some great, like, yeah, it's awesome. We're just going to do a whole thing. Yeah, we should do a whole Star Wars episode.
We should.
Patreon episode.
We should take questions from the audience about our opinions about Star Wars and where that would lead. That would be interesting.
Oh. Let us know in the comments below what your questions are for, like, our opinions about Star Wars.
Because I got a lot of them, and a lot of them are not what you'd think, or maybe just they are what you
Star
think.
Wars.
I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So
I was going to ask you some other questions, but I'll wait till off air.
Oh, we can do that too.
Hold off till OnlyFans. This is the podcast, and this actually needs to like not be a shit show. so let's one last question before we close everything out. And
oh, we're still going.
Yeah. Yeah. It's shocking.
Hey, I thought we ended this a little bit.
So the question would be if you like, would you prefer it everything like say everybody just, you know, gets a webcam and does it themselves, go to the Hasbro Pulse model of just like, that's where you show everything off to fuck all the cons, to get to sit at home in your underwear, eating your Fruit Loops. What do you got against Fruit Loops?
I guess I'm not going to sit in my underwear and eat Fruit Loops, I guess. I don't know.
I just assume that most people don't wear... Jamar doesn't wear pants when he records with us. Why would you wear pants while you're watching Hasbro Pulse?
I guess I always throw on, like, some shorts or, like, pants kind of thing. Like,
I mean, I do too, but, like...
I'm not a sit-around-in-my-underwear kind of guy.
I'm not either, but that's also because I don't, like, live alone, so, like, it doesn't really work. Like, just, like, you know, you still have your kid at home, so it'd be weird to just be like...
Right.
Pop's walking around in his underwear again kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm here with it. But, again, Jamar goes, you know, Donald Duck while he's sitting here with us. So, I just assume that most
One time I pull all my clothes off while we're recording.
But, yeah, would you prefer to cons completely go away and we just do live shows? Or do you enjoy that experience for, like, when you have gone? Would you want to go to more and support them and see it, you know, come back and thrive the way it used to?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good answer. My answer is no. I would like to see personally. I like the event, a model of it being like, hey, blah, blah, blah is going to have a big stream. They're showing off what's coming out. Like, I like that idea as much as I've been a fan of like wanting to, like, my dream was always just to go to E3. That was just my dream, right? Play an unreleased game or something, go to Toy Fair and see toys that haven't come out yet, you know, stuff like that. As I've gotten to the point of like where my interests lie and how I would like to consume that, because at the end of the day, I'm just looking at something to be like, yeah, I'm going to buy that. That's where kind of like my level of excitement goes. And maybe that's just, you know, a deeper conversation for toy collecting in the whole, but I would like to have those if the streams were held as like an event. But at the same time, I'm not saying that cons should die and go away. But I just think that going to see new toys isn't the only reason to have a convention. Because, like, the things you mentioned about why you enjoyed going to PowerCon was to see, like, other people, other streamers, other content creators, other fans who are just into the same kind of thing. Like, that, to me, is what the convention's about. But, like, getting those announcements and stuff out the way and maybe having, like, you know... Let me order the exclusive thing that you want to do. But you can still have a con exclusive and just do the announcements a little bit cleaner, in my opinion. That's just me. That's how I am. I like to just get like 5 o'clock. NEC is going to do a stream. They're about to drop the shit. They're going to show all these new. And I'm like, okay, cool. But don't do something like the 101 interviews, like you said, are interesting, but still kind of boring, if that makes sense. So I want more, like you said, production value. I want some more, like, do a bunch of cool little stop animation videos and shit of, like, things or showing cool prototype stuff like that. I would like that, definitely. But I'm not in no way saying cons should be a thing of the past.
Not to throw shade, but for less than $100, the janky-ass setup I have of lighting in here to get this, like, aesthetic shouldn't be that hard. for these like companies to do for these, especially if you're doing a professional interview where you're trying to show stuff off. Just saying, we're a tiny YouTube channel in a sea of content, and still put more effort into the production value, which I get it. It's not their forte. They probably don't have a department for it. But come on, guys. Like, I can only see a grainy video of an action figure so many times before I just am like, I'll just wait until till it comes out, or until we get promotional pictures, or until we get the pictures of it in the glass case at San Diego or something. Like, what about you, Nate? Because you just said yes, and I don't know if that was like, yes, you want both. You want your cake and to eat it too.
I mean, a little bit of both, but like, I would be totally fine with these great big monster shows going away. I've been to some, I've not been to others. It's overwhelming and ridiculous. But if that's your thing, cool. I hope it doesn't go away, I guess. But I'm okay with that. But I do love the idea of the small to the mid-tier shows. Because there's nothing like if you're into that sort of thing, to be able to go and interact with people that make the things that you like, whether that be voice actors, actual actors, game designers, animators, artists, whatever, podcasters, mm-hmm. YouTubers, whatever that may be that it is that you enjoy. There's nothing quite like going and interacting with those people, should you choose to do that. I've had some great experiences over the years at different conventions meeting people, and I would never want to see that go away completely. But at the same time, you know, I liked going to San Diego, but if it ended tomorrow, okay, cool. They'll sell exclusives elsewhere. And honestly, the exclusives have been so easily accessible over the last few years in other outlets that even that part of it has kind of lost its luster to me. It's not so much about the reveals or the exclusives, but it's about the people that you get to meet and what you learn about yourself along the way.
Fair. And there's your after school special, kids.
The more you know.
The more you know. I personally, I'm in the vein that I prefer the in-person. Like, if I was able to get tickets to every event and go, I would. Like, and this is for someone who doesn't, I'm a homebody. I don't like leaving the house, but like, I enjoy the conventions. I enjoy going in and getting to see this stuff in person. I got more excited seeing the stuff in a glass case when we went to PowerCon than I ever have seeing it on any of these live streams, seeing photos, seeing, I hate you, seeing like any of this stuff where it's just on a screen. Like, it's a different experience, and it gets me more excited. It makes me feel like it's not, like, when you see it on in the pictures and stuff like that, it still feels like it's far away. Like, it's going to be a long while before I get to see this or get this in hand. When you see it in person, it doesn't, it kind of takes that away, because it's like, well, I've seen it in hand. Soon I'll get to actually play with it and, you know, do like get to own it versus, you know, having to see it through a glass case. So I lean more towards the in-person events than the live streams. I also usually catch the live stream stuff like in like little snippets here and there after the fact, because they're rarely whenever I'm like actually available. But yeah, so that's where I stand on it. I did send you the Patreon input for the week.
Where did you send it?
I believe I texted it to you. Did it not send?
I didn't get it.
Okay, let me send it again then. One moment. This is what happens when you don't double check your work. Where did you go? You
don't have an iPhone.
I still have the one from last week that I could do.
Well, no, that was the podcast. This is the, well, the input would make sense. Yeah, I actually sent you the input. I also sent you the podcast suggestions that you do or do not have to do.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Everyone was like, what?
It's okay.
Did it come through?
Nope.
God damn it, Bobby.
Maybe send it through Discord since it uses the internet for a
text message. But he uses an iPad. It'll kick him out of Discord video if he trusts it that way.
Well, if he has it on his phone.
You got it?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, I just got it.
Cool.
All right. I'm going to try to fucking bring it.
Ooh, we're going to get that trailer level.
Uh-oh. Wait, what trailer?
Like trailer.
Part? Oh. That's what I was like, what?
Are we ready?
As we'll ever be. Got a little Yoda giggle in there.
Yeah. Ink / Kermit.
Conventions are in trouble because they have become too expensive and better alternatives exist. Airfare and hotel is expensive. Smartphones and social media. Shut up. Smartphones and social media make it so people can stay home for free and see 4K videos of the convention displays. Convention organizers also cram too many people into too small of a space to maximize profits. And it's harder to see stuff than if you stayed home and followed toy blogs. Cons have vendors who sell figures at higher prices that you can get on eBay. So why travel a long distance to overpay for figures you can email order more cheaply and not have to deal with logistics of bringing the haul back on your flight home? The only reason to attend conventions in 2024 will be to get the exclusive Modern Toy Fair art prints that will only be available in person. This is true.
I give him, at least he shills out for us like without being prompted. I'll give him that.
Thing I've heard on this podcast.
I need to go to another convention because I still have like 4 of those left to give out.
Oh man, that was funny.
Shit, that's funny. I mean,
that's aside very fair points though.
Aside from that, kind of sounding at the beginning like old man shouting at clouds. There's too many people. I can't see my toys. I agree with most of that though, especially the ending. But let us know in the comments below where you stand. Are you more of a sit at home eating your Fruit Loops, you know, Donald Ducking it, watching the toys, or do you want to go see him in person? And if you enjoy this video, please make sure to like and subscribe. Helps us out, gets future toy related content in your feed. You've got the weekly podcast, weekly live stream, weekly toy hunt. You've got reviews, how to pose videos, all sorts of stuff. So check it out. We really appreciate it. You can check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Modern Toy Fair. You can also check us out on patreon.com/ Modern Toy Fair, where if you'd like to help us out, you can support us there. We've got different tiers of different rewards. Get physical versions of the prints or the photos I take. You can get the episodes of the podcast Toy Hunt early. You can do the episode input. You can give Nate a fake podcast, all sorts of stuff. You can check Jamar out over on TikTok at Jamar_games. Nate, what you got for us?
We have a brand new show this week. It is going to be called Michael and the Multiverse of Laziness. In this time-bending adventure podcast, because that's what we do now, adventure podcasts, our very own Mr. Modern Toy Fair travels the multiverse in search of a version of Nate that shows up on time and submits his weekly toy hunt homework. Spoiler alert, across all of space and time, Michael is unsuccessful.
There was like multiple options. I'm surprised you chose that one.
They were all pretty shitty to me. So it was. Were they? Like,
I thought the last one wasn't. I didn't read it all the way currently.
Oh, no. The last one's the worst one.
Oh, maybe I mixed them up in which order they were in.
I need to see these. Can I read?
The last one is stop the Nate hate about all the bad comments about me. Is there a lot of bad comments about me?
Well, no, because in the Patreon episode, I think we mentioned that that someone's being mean to you.
Oh.
Did we say that?
I think we did. Oh. Yeah. So I think that was what prompted that one. But anyway, okay. Hopefully we'll see you next week. Same toy time, same Toy Fair channel. Thank you for watching.
To do it now.
All right. A huge thank you to our Patreon members. Is that what it is? Are they members or are they followers? Sukma Taint, Kibby, Jason Millar, Tavin Hernandez, Aaron Samples, The 45th Lyric, and last but not least, Christopher.